We were listening to the opening of the first scene of the Dybbuk, and here we go with the very first scene of the Dybbuk S. Anskey's play, which is probably one of the most famous, if not the most famous, in the Yiddish theater lexicon.
Also, wenn man die Kinder in Kindskinder, da soll man kaum mehr Nehmen wir irgendwas an Kanji, dann probieren wir mit einem Stamm.
A finer Kanji.
You draw so that it was God. The man was up in this pussy and this one.
What? Famous?
Famous? Who was it? The Connorsan of the Schnapke Nichols movies also on this one. The Nogash Agamon is of the Son of Man. A line, the center actor.
Der Schmelder hat die Stamme gehofft.
Was ist das?
Ja, verstehe ich nicht. Nicht in seiner Maße. Es hat passiert in einem Kulam beeide. Zähnliche Menschen müssen da oben gesehen. Und die Kimsten sucht mir, als ob sie kaum passieren. Glatt in den Ort reingehört.
Das ist schon. Doch ich habe gerechnet, dass wenn ich da einmal eine Scheibe sind zu riefen. Du sollst gerne nach Hause riefen, da ist auch ein
Rotriefen im Teufel kann es nur mit dem größten, zweifachen, ausgedrückten Schatten. Das schmelzte Neufindland war um die höchste der Schwitten, mit der tiefste Boden.
Und es ist kein Sakone, nicht zu benutzen dem größten Schein?
Ach, Sakone, nee. Nur die konkrete Lustigkeit, dass der Bund gut zum war, Watzen.
Die Mannstätel ist doch als Schem, ein wilder Obolympus. Der Hane, mit der Schemmachte und als Reife, und er verlässt sich gleich mit der zweiten Schem. Er sieht es sich behinderte Mal offen. Zack mit dem Finger nahe an den Wand gedrängt. Von der Allein gesucht. Als er weiß, dass er schreien muss, bekommen sie beschaut nach Gäule. Man kann ihn meistens haben. Wer nach Gäule bei einer Nette. So ist der Schivanze. Steht verliebt sich Kerzen. Und als Schem heißt er auch Hunde.
Ja, Hunde. Was für Hunde?
Doch so gehört, hat es aber möglich. Der geprüfte Mitten Herrn zog mit der Schem.
Das war ein Genick zu retten, von einer Regierung, der gesagt hat. Er fragt, was er noch nicht cool ist. Er kommt sich auf die Schule und ihm gehen, weil er uns hat mit der Schem. Mit der Zeile. Das ist ein Geschehen an ihm liegt.
Well, you've been listening to the first scene of the Divic. The three Batlanim are sitting around discussing the miracle Rebbes of their experience, of their vast experience from sitting around all day. And in the hearing of a mysterious character called the Messenger, who was originally not in the play, but was added at the suggestion of Stanislavski when Hansky showed it to him. And that's how that character came about. This was last night, as a matter of fact, at Yiddish Farm in Motzei Shabbos. It was a result of a couple of weeks of work, doing theater workshops and readings at the Yiddish Farm summer program in Maryland somewhere. I'm still so shocked that I spent that much time in Maryland that I can't remember the name of the town right now. Reistertown, that's it. Reistertown, Maryland. At the Pearlstone Retreat Center with a Yiddish Farm summer program, and I went up there to do the theater. We spoke to the two young men that founded this whole thing, got the whole thing started last week. That was in Yiddish, and this week there'll be some English. But Yeah, we worked on this, and that was my purpose for being there, but I thought that I'd try to get into the spirit of things, because the idea of the program was that this retreat center has an organization called Kayam, which in Hebrew means, I don't know, Kayam, exists, extant, something like that. Standing, you know. Anyway, as it's an organic farm and it's a back to the land kind of thing. And Yiddish farm is, after all, a derivative of other utopian movements involving Yiddish and Yiddish territorialism. These days, being so confused, when I say Yiddish, I don't know what to say, Yiddish, Jewish, it's all very confusing to me. But Yiddish farm, of course, it was Yiddish speaking only, so people who participated were only allowed to speak Yiddish, were allowed to speak only Yiddish and nothing else in the living quarters. And in the fields, working together as a group, and I volunteered to work. And I don't know whether I'm happy or sad that I did, because farm work is difficult work. It's hard work. And we wound up working, for the most part, in the tomato patch. Maybe 200 tomato plants that had gone wild. They hadn't been attended to. And I never realized what a prolific and it's like Audrey 2, these tomatoes are. They just go wild. And they neglected them, and it was just a jungle. So we straightened that out, but it was a lot of work and a lot of decision making, because in order for us to straighten it out, we had to kill a great many of the offshoots of the original plants. And deciding which stem to what, you know, it was kind of very. Made one feel very powerful, but also very guilty. You know. And we wound up with tons of green tomatoes because of the plants that we pruned had fruit on them. So there were a lot of green tomatoes, and we had the pleasure of having Eve Yachnovitz, who has a Yiddish cooking show on the internet with Rachel Schechter, you can Google it. I guess Yiddish cooking would bring it up. She cooked for almost three days, and we had some. Oh, it was fabulous because Eve that's her passion. Is Yiddish and food and where food comes from and the history of food and most specifically Ashkenazic Eastern European food. So, and she also held a seminar for an hour each day that she was there about the origins of some Yiddish. Eastern European foods like gefilte fish, various customs of what foods to eat on what days, you know, on the Sabbath there are certain foods that it's a mitzvah to eat. So it was all very informative, and we got to eat some of those foods. So. it was quite good. And of course, for Shabbos, we had some very good cooks too. We had to, it was very weird for me because, I joined the original committee of Yiddish Farm when Naftali and Yisroel first got it started, and I'm a little, you know, the mix of tradition and secularism is, it can be very difficult how shall I say it? We were living in a communal situation, more or less, and decisions were made based on discussion and consensus, which meant a lot of discussion, discussion and a lot of little meetings and things. And but it can become tiresome when it's a matter of dogma. But in this case, most of the things, discussions were germane. Some of the decisions that were made were adhered to. Some of them weren't. And, I mean, to some extent weren't. But that was the way things were decided. But to bring people who are secular or who how shall I put it, not totally comfortable with some of the orthodox ideas, there has to be a way to give them each their own space, their own, and at the same time to allow them to mingle. I don't think in this first year that it was entirely possible. But what happens is that the orthodox, the mystical element, the Hasidic element, not necessarily religious in the ordinary sense, but it tends to dominate in a situation like that. And for me, it was a little bit uncomfortable. I wanted, at times, it would have been nice to, have a private moment where I didn't have to participate in all of that. Hey, that could be just me. But it's something that needs to be worked out, because the ideology is that the Yiddish Farm would be made up of, would be a pluralistic community, made up of from people of every spectrum of Jewish culture and belief, and there needs to be. It'd be interesting to see if it is possible to do so without some kind of collision. It was really a terrific experience. I worked very hard and ate very well. The accommodations were spartan but comfortable, and I had no problem with them. If you have a problem with bunk living, a few people, bunk beds, and a few people in a room, then it might not have been for you. But it was, I was quite comfortable with it. I found it very heimish, you know what I'm saying? So, We spoke. There were philosophical discussions. There were talk about the various movements in Jewish movements and so on and so forth. Territorial movements. Some very lively discussion. A wide range of opinions. There was a poetry little poetry workshop, analyzing a poem by Yehoash, a very, very beautiful poem. So a lot happened. It was a very lively spirit. Dare I use the word pioneering? But it had that a bit of that feel to it, and we'll see where it goes. Next year, the gathering is planned for Goshen, New York, which is hopefully going to be the permanent base of Yiddish Farm. My understanding is that a greenhouse is on its way from somewhere in the Midwest and should be up, at least the shell should be up by the end of September. It's very exciting, and to me the danger of it is that it be too insular. We did this reading of the Dybbuk last night, and we had invited the other groups. This Kayam Farm gets its is an educational program, and people come there, young people come there, and they actually work on the farm. It's only a couple of acres, and a goat and a small, very small goat milking operation, and eggs, hens. They have laying hens. But believe me, there's a lot of work. it's amazing how much work there is to do. So this is how they get their labor. And next year it will hopefully be in Goshen, New York. I'm certainly very curious to see what that's going to be like. There's some very serious agricultural, passionate agricultural love of growing things, and this whole green concept. Very serious, and it's really wonderful. As long as it does not tend to insularity, because the back to the land part for me is only an excuse to promote Yiddish and Yiddish culture. So even though I enjoy it myself, I mean, I felt kind of, I didn't know really how to feel, but last Friday afternoon when we had finished manicuring this tomato, these five rows of plants, I looked down, and the difference was so obvious from when we started, and it was also obvious that we had done a decent job. Despite the fact that I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, I really, you know, even after I kind of got the hang of it, I didn't never felt that I had the hang of it really. But we managed to do it, and the farm manager seemed very pleased with it. And in the end, we even did a little harvesting of various heirloom tomatoes, black Cherokee, and their little plum tomatoes, and yellow bells. They're tomatoes that remain. They look like bell peppers, and they remain yellow is their ripe color, and various other varieties. And it was very informative. It was hard. Maybe it's because I'm just too old for that. it was difficult, but satisfying. And I don't know how many of you know the story of the Dybbuk. most, I shouldn't assume that many people have know something about the play. Dybbuk is a spirit that inhabits another body, I guess there isn't much more to say about that. In this case, it is the spirit of a young man who has been unjustly denied his true love, his fated match, his basherta, due to circumstances that are not apparent from the outset, but become clear later. And so far we've heard a scene about various miracle-working rabbis. The deep-voiced gentleman you heard is Yisrael Bass, one of the founders of Yiddish Farm, playing the Meshulach. He certainly has the voice for it. There have been some various tall tales told, and the young man who's been fasting and dabbling in Kabbalah in order to prevent his beloved from being engaged to anyone, because all the engagements fall through due to the mercurial nature of her father. And he feels that this is all happening because he's preventing it from happening through incantations and all kinds of different methods of divination and all that kind of scary stuff. But in the end, it's to no avail. She becomes engaged. And at the end of the first act, which this is the beginning of, the young man falls down dead in the presence of the father of the young woman whom he has pined away for, literally pined away for. And then he comes back, and because the father comes back and announces an engagement, but then he comes back and possesses the young woman, and the end is that they both are carried away, and have eternal rest together as one. Let's continue with the story and see how you like it.
Vielleicht nur in die Schiebe geschenkt von ehemischen Wochen. Okay, es geht einfach nur, die Familie ist verschwinden geworden, sie hat ganz jüdisch bewiesen. Und gesucht ist ein Weg Buchrecht in Kulis. Nicht lang zurück oder sich hingekehrt. Kuhl ist jener Buch ausgeweiht. Ständig Vertrag. Fast auf Sukkis im Schabbos, den Schabbos. Bravo, wie cool ist. Gesucht, als er reißt sich. Ich
habe
ein paar Dinge
Wer weiß, Äscher in den Gedeilen, werden wissen, nachgucken, wie das Sackgocken. Spät, Zeit zu verneigen, schon. Ach, schon, und du nicht nur einfach schön, es kommt zart und warm von der Wand. Ich wollte sich jetzt noch keine Gehme der Kappe der Wolle. Aber kann man ganz so gut nicht gehabt im Wolle.
Bei mir ist ein Druck gemacht, was anderes. Nee, nee, ich bin gedammt, ich mach's ja heikel, aber Hennes und Kies. Bei der Kolsch, wir werden dachten, sich bald um ein gewisses Maschier. Sende, את כיוון הזה נחוסן, בזם בסחידה, לנור שרב למעשה דלויים, ושישתם הפיינמתי.
אך, דלויים, את עובד השרב לנור, ואין הוא בכיוון זה נחסר, אוף אין לי קץ בגורש, וסיפלתם בשתפו, זה כמעט פייבס, וזה אין כנאו, תולי ז'אר זה אוסקלו.
Yes, and the names of forgiven. Una and Hora Gevier, Amriches, Vasechida Gerutena, Al-Pastaria. Jehovah's Andren, Elze Chosid, Take, in the Mirapolia Chosidim, Mitten Brenn. Achusen is a Ragitte, Stusere. But the Vasechida Zayner hat gemerkt, wo ist gerne auf ein anderer Neufe.
Was? Was?
Mule gezeigt, dass er gewähren auf einer feinen Bespuche. Die Gart war schillig, die mir. Hängt in der Schicht, ich kann Geld, ich kann Ihnen so gut. No, ich gesagt. Wenn ich da wegzufuhren, die größte Schiebe, umgeben, dass die Schiebe erscheinen hat, tun. Die Jänner kriegt mich schon ausklar, aber auch auf der Schiff, auf der Schiff. Sender ist auch, ich kenne ihn also.
Der Protektor, der ist die mir heute gefunden, der hat mich gefunden.
Noch ein Meister.
No, no, no.
Mr. Kamosh and Hoyer, Bill Frost, begging answers for me. I should have two men meet them. Bill, that is my
shame. Aye, 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 Why? Why? God's gonna roll. But you told him for Yankee. Kick up and roll. Kick on the tail for the Yankee Kinderlord. Or this never.
That's the old woman who runs in and insists on seeing the Holy Scrolls so that she can pray for the her daughter who is laboring in childbirth for who is sick actually has been sick for several days and she's going around to all the shuls trying to prevent her daughter from dying taking her little grandchildren around with her. So, here we go.
Here we go. Stell dir ein für ein bisschen auf Wohnen. Here we go. Liebe Mars. Geht. Wolf zum Wohnenschulen. Schreck. Bett. Als das schöne Bäume so nicht ausgerissen hat. Werden mit dem Porto, als das Kind getreibt ist und nicht herausgenommen werden zum nicht herausgebrochen werden und das stille Schäfer soll nicht zugenommen werden von Sheridan. Ich will
Well, that was a prayer for the lamb not to be separated from the herd, the dove not to be separated from the nest. What was the first one? And so on and so forth. And then off she goes, and the drama continues. And it's rare that you hasn't been a Yiddish production of the Dybbuk in quite some time. I couldn't give you the exact date, but it's been long enough so that there's a whole generation that has grown up without seeing it.
In the spring, we came in the morning, we had a talk, die zwei direkt zu kennen, alle Schmeulen haben. Jedes gekommen haben in der Mann, Schmeulen, Schmeine, Paratoste. Da muss ich zwei Tage mit dem Heuten.
Du? Ist los!
Also eine Chance von den Menschen, was ist noch nicht gestorben, da verlangt in der Buch, was ist noch nicht geboren geworden, und vorher oder andere. Staat, die Kranke, welche Beulen das Kind, wenn die Kranke gesund, welche Beulen werden als Beulen kennen.
Ai, 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 ein blinder Mensch ist, es ist nicht, was ich meinte, es ist nicht auf der Reibische Ziegeschichte, es ist nicht. Ups und Tillem, machen wir heim, Reibische ist mal ab und dann zieh ich den Kranke, mache vier Schweine. Buchen am Bebens und Tillem, und bekomme jede Zierheil zu den Kieren. Dann danke mir, Herr Mir.
Ich weiß nicht, wie sie sind gegangen, und wo sie sind gegangen.
Es ist einer der gestorben geworden, weil sie gegangen ist, unkicken, nicht mehr Sachen sagen. Und sehen wir doch, als noch seitdem gegangen andere, der Aliyah Kudish, der Baal Shem Tov Kudish, sind nicht mehr schon geworden. Ich glaube das nicht. Ich gehe mit meinem Weg. Das ist nicht verstanden.
Weil nicht verstanden. Anders schon, man zieht sich auch zu der Nummer 3.
Die Hilfe von Zadikim versteigt in dem, wo sie reinigen, wo menschlich eine Schuld ist. Rassend von der Rücken, mit Glück und Sinn, den Heuchel sei auch, zu sein wichtiger Wucke. Gibt es das Schwere, wo du mal vier Heuchel und Sinn, wo gereinigt eine Schumme, kommt dann, genau, den andere, aber fleckt mit noch mehr Sinn. Gebracht das Schiebe ein dort, kommt das dann auch den andere, noch mehr Handlängige. Die Deure ist, wenn noch schwache, wir sind als starke, sind die immer als Weinige.
Musst du davon den Namen schicken und noch tun?
Bedarf ist immer Kummer auf, wie wir sind. Wir haben euch besser gesehen. Wir haben Goldschmidt, leichter Gold, eine starke Feier. Wir haben Erde, aber wir sind doch viele Kerne, die Kuste kostet. Also ihr habt euch leider den Sinn für ihr Zimmer. Also ihr habt ihr so meinen Nordkirchen.
Du bist ja den Sinn? Wir waren auf Kippen.
Alles, was Gott hat verschaffen, hat man sich erfinkt in Heiligkeit.
Sind das nicht verschaffen, Gott? Nur das Sittra Achre.
Wer das Sittra Achre verschaffen? Euch Gott. Sittra Achre heißt die zweite Seite von Gott. Wir wollen diese Seite von Gott. Wir sind auch mit dem Gedichte.
Oh. Gedichte, das Sittra Achre? Ich kann nicht, ich verstehe nicht. Ich will mich betrachten.
Was ist Sinn des Bestands? Was ist Sinn des Schwere, die auf den Zeichen zu haben? Sind für eine gewisse Zierigkeit, ja?
Ja.
Und als man leider knows, was die sind, in einer starken Feier, welche die größte Tümme, die höchste Gedische, ein Schirr, Schirr. Schirr, Schirr. Schein bist du mein Beschäftigte, schein bist du deine Augen mit Heugen kicken heraus, wenn du deine Augen nehmen. Deine Uhr sind wie ein schildes Ziegel, das ist leuchte in der Rupp in Bargele. Deine Zeilen sind wie ein schildes Schaf. Und sich dort was aufgebunden. Und alle sind seine Zwillinge, die schimpft im Bruchweg der Gesellschaft.
End scene one. Thank you very much.
Well, there it was. I hope you enjoyed it. It's actually about 60% of the first act. 55-60% of the first act, at the end of which Horan dies. And, maybe we'll get to do more of this. It was a lot of fun. You may have detected some big differences in dialect of the speakers. It was quite nice for me because most of the people spoke very Heimish Yiddish, and the kind of Yiddish that I was used to hearing at home. So I enjoyed it a lot, and it was quite interesting. It's interesting that people from the Hasidic world that participated, how little the exposure to this stuff is, they enjoy it. It's something that they just haven't been exposed to, classic Yiddish drama. I know we read some of God, Man, and Devil, and that was popular as well. It often surprises me that there's no knowledge of, among the Yiddish-speaking, largest Yiddish-speaking population in the world, there's almost no knowledge of Yiddish literature outside of religious literature, which is abundant. You can't have time for everything, after all. But it's a bit of an irony that that is the case. However, when they see it or become aware of it, it's something that they're very curious about and fascinated with and enjoy, which is, after all, the point of the whole thing. I'm hoping that we get to do that again at Chillin sometime in the fall. I'll be sending out an email regarding the resumption of the theater workshop and the various guest teachers that we're going to have in seminars. Should be very exciting. And there will be some play readings. I'm very excited about what will be coming up in the next few months. I hope you enjoyed the Dybbuk. I listened to it, and it's so steeped in there's the second part that I played for you. Hunan talks about the difference between the Gemara and other more orthodox, straightforward books of study, and the Kabbalah, which is much more radical, and he talks about how the Kabbalah takes the soul, brings flight to the soul, whereas the Gemara and the other texts associated with root one in the ground. And I guess that about says it for those two sides of the story. His friend, who is asking him why, questioning his immersing himself in Kabbalistic study and fasting. His friend actually says that look, the Gemara is the right way. It roots you. It's firm. It's secure. It takes you step by step by step and builds a foundation. Whereas the other is dangerous and volatile. I guess that's the whole. That's the entertainment value here. I know I've mentioned it before, but a production was just done in May in Montreal, in which five women played all the roles. The play was done in English, but the Dybbuk's lines were spoken in Yiddish when the Dybbuk spoke through the vessel of Leia, his fated one, his promised one. He spoke the lines were said in Yiddish, and the Volksbühne did a reading, a one night reading, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Other than that, I don't believe it's had a real run here of any kind or exposure here of any kind in quite a number of years. The same is true of most of the classic Yiddish plays. And there's so many of them. Maybe that isn't fair because the treasury is full. It would be a hard task, but then plays like Miral Ephras and the Dybbuk and got mentioned title and the Yiddish King Lear, and there are many, many other lesser known plays that are in archives around the country at YIVO and that rarely get performed. One of them was just recently performed and I can't remember exactly which company did it. Was Honey Presses in Washington, was Theodore Mattel, called Simcha Plachta. There's so many of these things, and you know, it would be nice to get more exposure to them, which is something you can only do if you scale things properly. But anyway, that's another discussion. I hope you enjoyed the reading. I certainly enjoyed working on it. The people involved were terrific. There was a real spirit of camaraderie. There's another week of it going on. And incidentally, I don't think it's too late to sign up for Yiddishbach, which is going to be in the same center the last week of August. If you go to jugendtreff.org, we'll be able to get all the information. It's a very nice place. It's very... I was really surprised at the climate. It was gorgeous there. The climate was great. I thought it would be much hotter than in New York. It turned out to be very, very comfortable most of the time. And... the retreat itself is pleasantly situated, and the accommodations are excellent. And I haven't eaten in the kitchen, but from what I saw, since they sent over a whole bunch of leftover food from their Sabbath kitchen, they sent over on Saturday night. By the look of it, it was pretty good, and I think it's going to be a wonderful experience this year. So those of you who may have it's Yiddish Farm was very strict. You see, Yiddish Farm, this particular program, part of the reason the founders wanted to do this was to be able to have the opportunity to live in a Yiddish-speaking environment. And I cannot blame them for wanting to be strict about it. And, you know, because questions came up about inviting friends who were not Yiddish speakers, and we would wind up inadvertently speaking in English, and so on and so forth. But I certainly can see the their point of view. I mean, that's what inspired them to do this. They wanted to have at least some opportunity, and down the road, actually live in a Yiddish-speaking environment and work in a Yiddish-speaking environment all the time. I can, even though I myself am more moderate in that regard, I feel that if you are disciplined enough, you will speak. You will only speak English when necessary, and out of politeness to guests, and attempt to give them a few words of Yiddish. But that's a whole discussion, and we had that discussion, and it was pretty much adhered to, not entirely, but for the most part, and. I can dig it. as long as down the road, when the program grows, there are also programs running at the same time for people who have who would not be comfortable having to live for 3 weeks and speaking only Yiddish. Yiddishbach is a little less stringent, just because it's much bigger. There were only, at the most, when I 14 people. Over Shabbos, there were 14 people. It's a little bit different. It's not as... although the whole point there is to speak Yiddish. All the activities are in Yiddish. All the lectures, all the performances, all the workshops, everything's in Yiddish. Decide for yourself. But I promise to be a wonderful week. It's easy to get to from New York. It's just a straight shot down the Jersey Turnpike south. It's long. It's a couple hundred minutes, 200 miles, but it's not overly tiring. It's perfectly doable. So let me leave you with the niggun from the beginning of the dinner. Well, thanks for listening, come back in 2 weeks. We'll have another rip-roaring, exciting show for you, we'll be able to tell you a little more about what's coming up in the fall. For all of you out there not listening, I want to give you really my hearty thanks. I look forward to you not listening again next week.